Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz, even from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh today, look at that. And today's daf is daf Tes, and we are holding on the last three words on Ches Amud Beis, and we've gotten back to the main show. Now the main show, of course, was that the Betula is supposed to get married on a Wednesday. The Mishnah gave us an explanation. On a Wednesday, so that in the event that he feels that he's been fooled, the Rebbe's here. He feels that he's been fooled so that he can come to Bez then, and he won't have time to cool down, and it's important for us that he comes to Bez then, and so on, for whatever reason. Okay, so we're going to try to figure out what the issue is over here. What if he says, indeed, that he comes into Bez then, and he says, she's not a Betula? Omer Rabbi Elazar. The halacha is like this. Somebody comes into Beis Din after his wedding, and he has a taina, and he says, Petach patuach matzati, that this girl, I find her to be an open door, so to speak. Now, why is he only talking about an open door? Why is he not talking about the question of whether there was any bleeding? Now, this turns out to be a major difference later on in the sugya for the very simple reason. You don't have to be an experienced person to know whether there's been blood or not. You can see if there's blood. But you certainly have to know something about what's going on. I say that she's wide open. What do you know about wide open? I mean, how many girls have you had that you're going to talk about? So maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. So there's certainly a different kind of taina of petach patuach versus damim. And we're going to be talking about that later on in the Gemara. So over here, why are we ignoring the issue of whether there was bleeding? So Rashi says that we're talking about over here, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, there's going to be people that come from families in which there's never bleeding at breaking through Betulim. So it could be talking about that. It could be talking about a case in which maybe there was bleeding, but he didn't know because somebody snatched away the cleaning crew came. They snatched away the sheets. Now he doesn't know whether it was bleeding. Whatever. Now, there's other possibilities, and Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Chananel, is Bechadish over here in general, that all of the cases that we have had about a Mukat Eit and a Bogeret, so remember we talked about the idea of what is a Betulah when we were talking about the Kohen Gadol, and is he allowed to marry a Bogeret? Is the very fact that she's a Bogeret with weakened Betulim or disappearing Betulim by that age where she's fully grown? Is fully grown at 12 and a half, but she's fully grown. And there, even though we say over there that the idea is that there don't have any blood and therefore there's no taina, but you can still taina petach patuach. This is what the Rabbeinu Chananel holds, that there's a difference between the weakening of Betulim, where there won't be any bleeding, but there's still a sense of needing to break through in order to feel completely free and a petach patuach. Now, Tosfos asks many, many kashas from a lot of different Gemaras on the Rabbeinu Chananel, but keep in mind that we have two different approaches over here. So according to Rashi, the idea is that there was no opportunity for him to identify whether there was bleeding or not, and therefore his only issue is petach patuach matzati. So now, he believes that petach patuach matzati. Since he believes it, he certainly has got to assume that this is the truth, and he, therefore, has created a situation in which, for all intents and purposes, he made a netter on himself that he's not allowed to be with this woman because she's been sleeping with another guy. And therefore, that's called Shavyanav Shechaticha Disura, Moshe Forman. Make sure that that becomes one of your words. We need to start putting this out. I'm relying on you because I stopped doing it. So, Shavyanav Shechaticha Disura, and therefore, she's usher on him. But why, asks the Gemara, what exactly is the problem? So what? So she's petach patuach. How does that equal an iser? I mean, isn't it a sveik sveika? First of all, I mean, do you know from when she was a petach patuach? What? It was dafka after you had already given her kedushin? How do you know? Maybe the kedushin was like a year ago, and she had these relations 2 years ago, in which case it has no implication for an iser on you. And furthermore, let's say even if these relations took place after your marriage, do you know that they were willing relations? Maybe she was raped, and therefore she wouldn't be asura on you. So why isn't it just a sveik-sveika? The statement, petach batuach matzati, is ipso facto an iser of her on him because he believes her to be usur? Ma pitom? He doesn't believe her to be usur necessarily. Answers the Gemara, you're correct. We've got to be talking about a case of where he's a kohen. So we only have one suffix. The suffix being whether these relations took place after he was married or before. But if it's after he was married, then even if she were raped, the halacha is that an eshes kohen is asur on her husband, because that's the din dafka by a kohen. Okay, then she gets the din of a zonah, because she slept with someone. Not doesn't mean it's on her because of her own volition. So there's only one suffix. Or I can give you another case. We could be talking about a non-kohen, and he is a regular Yisrael, but the issue over here is that the Kedushin was something that occurred because the father accepted Kedushin before she was 3 years old. And therefore, since she had already been married before she was three, and this is a derived perfectly good Kedushin, so then any sexual relation she would have had before that would not have affected the betulim. Because the halacha is that pochos bibat shalosh shanim, the betulim are chozrim. So that even if there had been a petach batuah, it's got to have been that it wouldn't have happened before, if the relations were before she was three. And therefore, the idea that the betulim are chozrim, that there's an elasticity, which therefore is not going to cause a breaking. As the Gemara puts it, you know what this is like? You put your finger in your eye. Remember, we talked about fingers always being a euphemism. You put your finger in your eye, and it gets a little bit teary. And then 2 minutes later, it goes back to normal. The same thing is true over here. So that is only one suffix. It's got to have been after they were already married. Then, of course, the question is, if it was after they were already married, at what point? Because we generally assume that even if she had agreed to the relations before she was a gedola, that they would be considered to be beones. Because she's so young, she doesn't really know what she's doing, and therefore we have a klal that pitui kitana is the equivalent of rape. So even though she is saying, I want it, it doesn't mean anything. In which case, there's no suffix, so what's the problem? She's never going to be asura on him. Yet the Rambam brings that she would be asura. This becomes like a major question. Very long piece in the Magen Mishnah about this. What is there? Other Rishonim that are also mashma that way. That this concept that a pitui katana is considered to be rape is not absolute. In other words, there are certainly elements of the possibility of a rotzen of a katana that is not considered to be rape, where she's totally into it. And therefore, you can't say that as a 100% klal. Sir Richard, are you frozen or asleep? I won't talk about the alternatives. Okay, good to have you back. Alrighty, so that could be the case when it was only one suffix. Obviously, the point could be that the idea over here is that currently he's taking her many years later, and now she's a gedola, and then we wouldn't have that problem. Anyway, so then if that's the case, what is the chiddush? What's the big chiddush over here that Rebbe Lazar is saying? That she, of course, we know that there is a concept of shavya anavshe chaticha disura. We know that if a person believes something is osur on him, that it is osur. Because that's a beferish a mishnah, and therefore I certainly don't need Rebbe Lazar to teach me a beferish a mishnah. The mishnah says that if a guy goes over to a woman, and he says, I was makadosh you in front of witnesses, it was a normal wedding. Yeah, where are the witnesses? The witnesses are overseas, I have no idea where they are. But you are my wife. She's never saw you before. The halacha is that he becomes asur on all of her relatives, on her mother, on her daughter, on her sister, because according to him, his saying, he was married her, and therefore these are all arayot, and shavyan avshi chaticha de yisura. But he cannot impact her. She disagrees. Fine. So if she disagrees, so then there's no isra on her. So the deal is that if she says never, so then he muteret bikrovav, vahu asur bikrovotel. Then he's the one that is asur, but she is muter. So it's a Mishnah. So what's Rabbi Elazar saying? That if a guy says, petach patuach matzati, that he's believed on himself? Well, obviously. No. Because there's a big difference. A guy who says, I gave you kiddushin, he knows what he's did. So he's saying, I gave you kiddushin. So it's a vada kimle, but over here, come off it. The guy's coming along. It's the first time he's ever slept with a girl, maybe. And now he's saying, petach patuach matzati, as if he's the world's greatest expert. And now they're going to start interviewing him on YouTube. I mean, it's ridiculous. What does he know? Maybe make a mudalo kimle. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So I might have thought that we pay no attention to him. We say to him, well, you calm down, buddy. You don't know what you're talking about. Just relax. You know, lots of people make that mistake. That's what we should do. Why do we say that it's Shav Yanav Shechaticha de Yisura? And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says that if the guy really believes this, this is what he said, even though possibly, you know, he doesn't know precisely, but this is what he believes. And Isurim and Nedarim are built of beliefs. And therefore, he is Shav Yanav Shechaticha de Yisura. But did Rabbi Elazar really say this at all? Is it considered to be chaticha de yisura? Just because he believes that his wife had slept with someone else. Is that a chaticha de yisura, according to Rabbi Elazar? But didn't Rabbi Elazar himself say, Ein ha'isha ne'eseret al bala ela aliske kinui v'stira? The only time that a woman becomes asura on her husband is in the event that he had warned her in advance, do not be alone with so-and-so. And she is, so over there, because we have Raglaim Ladovar, and we have an Eid Echad, and so on, so she could become Asura Labala. But otherwise, we wouldn't have answered her, even though he believes that they've been sleeping together. So you see that according to Rabbi Elazar, you need real proof of adultery before a woman becomes Asura to you. So even if it's true that Petach Patuach Matzah, and even if she's been actually sleeping with someone else, she should not become asura to him based on the circumstantial evidence. It has to be established in a bezdin correctly. Al pi eid echad, at least as we'll see in the case of kinui v'stira. Oh, come on, says the Gemara. You honestly believe? Oh, I'm sorry, but I left out the main part. Uchama seshahaya, like the story that was. Now everybody knows what the story that was is because everybody loves to talk about poor David HaMelech and Bathsheba, which they're torturing him with his whole life, and we need to wait till the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, of course, that's the whole story that we had about the Mizmor Shir, Chanukah, Zabayis, and David. So we had to wait until the Beis HaMikdash is built by Shlomo to understand what rotten it is to be talking about David HaMelech's big personal Maisa like it's your business. And so when he says those words, Kibay Shishaya, we know what he's talking about. So of course it doesn't make any sense because there was no kinui v'stira in the case of David and Bathsheba. So the Gemara is going to ask, what in the world does that mean? So anyway, says the Gemara, so come on. I mean, do you really take what Rabbi Elazar said as being serious? What do you mean? Kibay Shishaya? The Maisa with David and Bathsheba was with kinui and stira? What? Uriah, before he went away, told Bathsheba, don't ever be alone with that guy. I mean, that's crazy. Where do we have such a thing? Furthermore, what do you mean, Kamaisa Shahaya? Obviously, she was not usher to her husband. Because if she had been usher to her husband, the way you're reading the words, then she would have been usher to David. So why would David have kept her as a wife? He was a tzaddik gomer, as Rashi points out. So he's going to keep a woman as a wife who is asura to him? No. So since they remained married, it's obvious that she was never asura to Uriah. So how is he bringing a raya that you are asura just like Uriah was, which he wasn't, only where there's kina v'stira, which there wasn't? Something's wrong with this statement, don't you think? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. No, that doesn't bother me. Because what he might be saying is like this. Ein ha'isha ne'eseret al ba'ala ela al iskei kinui v'stira. How do we know that? Not ke ma'aseh shaya, but rather Mima Seshaya. I'm proving it from the very fact that David HaMelech kept Bathsheba as his wife, ultimately fathering Mashiach from it, the whole future, the Malchus and Shlomo HaMelech and so on, and that was perfectly okay. Why? Must be because there was no Kinui Vestira, and even though maybe everybody knew that they had been together, it doesn't matter because that doesn't answer on her husband, right? Okay, so if that's what he meant, so then Rebbe Lazar is contradicting himself. It's saying over here that at the very least you need to have Kinui Vestira, but the fact that there was Petach Patuach, that would not be a raya to aser her on you. So how could Rebbe Lazar suddenly be coming along and saying, no, just Petach Patuach, that's enough, you don't need any kind of presence of Edim or Raglayim Ladavar, whatever. That's what he seems to be saying, which, by the way, is a big machlokas. Remember, we had all of those cases with Rebbe, with the guy hiding behind the curtain or his slippers under the bed face, and so on and so forth, which Rebbe said was sufficient evidence if the Avon man is coming out there running from behind the back door and you're coming in the front door and his shoes are under the bed and whatever, that's enough of a reason to answer. Okay, but this, obviously, Rebbe Lazar is arguing on that whole approach. We're only going to answer a woman when we have this Kinui Vestira. But that doesn't really make sense. I mean, do you really believe that Rebbe Lazar says only Kinui Vestira? You mean to tell me that if you have witnesses that your wife is sleeping with another guy, that's no problem. Only Kinui Vestira. I mean, is that really what Rebbe Lazar holds? Kinui Vestira, but not witnesses? Elahachi Kama, what Rebbe Lazar must have said was, Ein Aisha Nesert Abala Be'ed Echad Ela B'Shnei Edim, unless it's Kinui Vestira. That's what he must have said. So in other words, even having these other elements of proof, somebody tells you that he saw it. Okay, but remember that we have in the Dinim of Gittin Ki Matzaba Ervad Davar. And remember that Davar is always Alpi Shnei Edim Yakum Davar. So that means since what we're talking about over here is Ervat Davar, so the fact that you believe it doesn't aser her. The fact that somebody you trust told you about it doesn't aser her. The only place that the Torah said that you have to actually not sleep with her is with the story of the Sotah. And the story of the Sotah requires Kinui Vestira with witnesses. And the only time that she becomes Asura to you permanently is if there's one witness in those circumstances who says that I actually saw them together, not just in the same room, I saw them sleeping together, and then she becomes Asura Pi Eid Echad. But otherwise you would need two Eidim. This kind of situation comes up all the time, by the way, where a woman tearfully admits to her husband that she's been having an affair and so on. And he assumes that that means that she's a surah to him. But it doesn't mean that she's a surah to him. First of all, he doesn't have to really believe her. I can tell you again from personal experiences that have come in front of the Beis Din that very often women imagine these kind of things or they want to get attention or whatever. I mean, I'm a chuyiv to believe a woman that she's asura on you. And according to the Sheet in the Gemara over here, even if you're convinced that it's true, the Torah only creates the iser of the saita v'hi lo nitfasa asura. That's only where the Torah said v'hi lo nitfasa asura, which is in a case where we're talking about over in the context of saita. That was the way we understood Rabbi Elazar over here, that even if you know, it wouldn't matter. Even if you saw it, it wouldn't matter. Because what we're interested in is a definition of her being asura to you. That's the way many of the Rishonim understand what it was that we're talking about here in this case, according to this approach of Rebbe Lazar. So that must be what he was saying. Then maybe the Petach Patuach is not a contradiction, because maybe Petach Patuach is an absolute. It's the equivalent of Shnei Eden. Maybe that's what he means. Therefore, there's no contradiction. Then why did he bring the business about like the mice of David and Bathsheba? Because what he was saying is, v'chi tema, in other words, he's raising the point that you will raise. I mean, I assume that a pregnancy is as good as a petach patuach, wouldn't you say? I assume that everybody knows what they're tiptoeing down there for is as good as a petach patuach, wouldn't you say? So why didn't they aser her on Uriah, Bathsheba. And if Bathsheba was Asura on Uriah, then she would have been Asura on David. But she wasn't Asura on David. That's why we brought up, and what about the Maaser Shehayah? So, V'chi Tema Maaser Shehayah Mipnei Ma Lo Asarua. That's because it was considered to be an ones. So you see, what are we saying? That even though we know that this took place, and David HaMelech himself certainly knows it took place, you would say, okay, so then he's mechuyev to be noeg issur with her. It's not true, because it wasn't defined, al pi shnei edim, and so on. That's all. Maybe that's the pshat. Or maybe the pshat is really the way that the Gemara has explained the whole story. That, of course, David HaMelech never slept with an Eishes Ish. That's insane. If you read the pasuk, it's clear that that's insane. But people always take something out of context. So, yes, he did sleep with her. And, yes, it was not nice. And so on and so forth. But that's not the issue, nice or not nice. Because what happened over there is that we can go like Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani or Reb Yonasan. Kol ayotze lemilchemet beit David, get kritut kotev liishto. Anyone who is going out to fight would always give a get before going out in order to avoid the very problems that we started the discussion with, the issues in the beginning with Yevamos in the cases of giving a get just in case. People try to avoid igun, and that's why we ended up believing a woman that her husband died. So her husband is very concerned. What if I disappear in the war? Look what just has happened recently in wars. Terrible situations. We don't know whether the husband is dead or alive. Did Hamas capture him? And the woman is not allowed to get married. It took years to be able to find some kind of heter for her based on what with the data. So because of that, before going into the army and a war beginning, they would give a get. Now it's about Chalukas, Rashi, and Tosis, whether this is an absolute get, meaning, okay, I'm giving you the get, and then when you come back, we'll get remarried. Or whether it was a conditional get. In the event that I never come back from this war, then this get should be chal from now, which is the way Rashi understands it, which creates a lot of problems, as Tosis points out, because Uriah did come back in the middle, because David brought him back, and how was David sure that he was actually going to be killed? I mean, at the beginning, he didn't know she was going to get pregnant, and so on. So there's a lot of problems with the Rashis. But in any event, says Tosis, even... So what did David do wrong at all? I mean, everybody knows that everyone was divorced, because even so, it was understood between them that, you know, we're going to be loyal to each other and that this is only there in order to avoid problems of Egon, right, or problems of Yibam. So it wasn't nice, that's all. And for David HaMelech, not nice is intolerable. But, you know, what's he going to sit around and argue with people? What, you really think that I did? You know, so fine. David, what's the din? The din is he's Chayav Misa, but at least he gets Olam Haba, you jerk. Okay, so I'm not going to argue with you and tell you that what you think is insane. But okay, the same thing is true over here. So that's what Rebbe Elazar is saying. The Maaser Shehayah was irrelevant. How do we know this from the Pasuk? Because what happens is that David's father, when he was a kid, David sends him to the war where his brothers are about to fight the Plishtim. And this was the whole business where he couldn't take what was going on with this Meshugan Agolius and so on. How do you allow people to talk about this? So that came about because his father sent him up to the war to bring supplies to the brothers. And then he says to David, and listen, take your brother's Aruva. Now, what in the world is that? Okay, so give my regards and bring up this food. And et aruba tamtikach. Take their aruba. What does an aruba mean? My vet aruba tamtikach. Tony Rev Yosef Dvarim Hamu Uravim Beinolaveina. It means take their marriage back home with you. How do you take a marriage back home? By taking a get. So that if chas v'shalom, something happens to your brothers, at least their wives will be able to get married. And you'll show that they had a get. Wonderful. So we see from there that clearly it was normal. This is David himself, right? That was the one that was sent to do this. So obviously that was the whole situation over here. Omar Abaye, you know what? He's 100% right. I could show you from the Mishnah that Rabbi Elazar is correct. And that if he says... Petach patuach matzati, It must be that she's Asura on him, at least in these particular cases of an Eshes Kohen or a case where the father accepted the Kedushin that over there where we don't have a problem, a Sveik Sveika, so then she would really be Asura on him. Because take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Betula Niseit Yom Arvi'i, and not on a Thursday. Now, well, what's wrong with a Thursday? My time. There's plenty of time for shakdu. There's plenty of time of preparing a meal. So why can't she get married on Thursday? So it's what we said. Mishumi krure daite. We're worried that he's going to cool off because it can't be that he won't have an opportunity to come to Bezin. So come to Bezin on Monday. What's wrong? Get married on Thursday and come to Bezin on Monday. So it's clear that we're worried that he's going to cool off by Monday, and he's going to say, okay, great, she's a good girl, you know, what's the difference, what she did, and so on. And therefore, we insist, no, you have to get married on a Wednesday. So now tell me, what is your problem, okay? What are you doing by saying that it's got to be on a Wednesday? To protect from what? Because if he cools off, what's going to happen? So then, if they get divorced, ultimately, he's going to have to end up paying her the 200 because she's claiming that she's a bitula, right? So what do you care? If he wants to take the risk of paying her extra money, it's his business, not your business. Make sure that you get to court. You wouldn't want to be caught paying this no good 30 years from now, 200 Jews. That's just ridiculous. Of course we don't care. It's your problem. Must be that there's a real problem. Well, what would that be? Lo'osralav. And that if he really believes Petach Patuach Matzati, then he's supposed to not be married to her. Now, I ask you, what would his problem have been? If he came to Bezin, what would he have said? I'm assuming, Katoin Tana, something, obviously. What's he tiny? My love, I'm assuming that he was steining like Rabbi Lazar was referring to. Petach Patuach. It says he had a taina. It doesn't say which taina. Couldn't have been Petach Patuach without any problem of damim, right? Okay, so that's Rabbi Lazar's whole chiddush. What was his whole chiddush? He said his whole chiddush was that you would say that a novice at sex doesn't have a right to say Petach Patuach, right? And Rabbi Lazar says, yes, he does. And the Mishnah says, make sure he gets to a Beis Din, because he'll have a taina, and which undoubtedly includes a taina Petach Patuach. So you see that we have to make sure that if he's a Kohen, and maybe because of that, we said, okay, since this would be true about a Kohen, we made this a klal to get married for everyone on that day. There you go. So it must be they were starting Petach Patuach. Not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah is taking for granted that you understand that he's got a serious taina. So his serious taina would be the katayin taina's damim. He's claiming that no, she actually did not have any blood. And so in other words, it would be referring to a case where there were shushbinin and there was a mapa and it was possible to know whether there was bleeding and you knew that this was the correct mapa and that therefore that is a serious reality. But maybe had he just said Petach Patuach, the judge would have gotten up and put a hand around his shoulder and said, come, my boy, let me talk to you a little bit. And cooled him down, you know. We have to make such a big deal about something that he doesn't really know. So therefore, we cannot bring a raya from the very fact of the Mishnah that Rebbe Lazar is right. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, I'll tell you another halach. I'm telling you that Omer Petach Patuach Matzati is even believed to get her canceled, her ksuva, which is incredible. I mean, Bishlam, what we've been talking about up till now, a little bit of Rebbe Lazar, is l'chora only the din of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha D'Yisura. He believes it, and therefore, if he's a Kohen, so he's not allowed to keep her, and so on. Shmuel is going a step further than what we ever considered. He's saying you can even use that as a financial taina in Beis Din, where you are giving her a get based on this, and you're insisting that you don't need to pay her her ksuva. Omer of Yosef, well, what's he telling us? Isn't that also the Beferish Mishnah we're going to have very soon after Shabbos? Ha'ochel etzel chamiv b'yudah shalo be'edim. This is another one of those dinim. you ate in your father-in-law's, future father-in-law's home over Shabbos. You stayed over Shabbos and you slept in his house. You cannot say afterwards, well, I found a petach patuach. Oh, right, youngster. You found a petach. Now, I wonder why you found a petach patuach. Ha, ha, ha. So Tosfos says it could be that the guy honestly believes he never slept with her because they were just making out. You know, he didn't realize that there was enough of a level of penetration that he actually broke her betulim. He thought they were just, you know, we were sort of together having some good times. So he may, in all seriousness, think that she never slept with him. So therefore, he can't have any kind of tain of a petach patuach. That's the point. The whole idea of those visits were to allow them to be comfortable with each other. And we said we even made a bracha beforehand to make sure that she wouldn't be asura on him. Forget about the inyan of the nidas. Obviously, she went to the mikveh before and so on. So what do you see from there? That only in Yehuda you can't say that. But let's say you were not in Yehuda where they had this idea of putting boy-girl together. In the Galilee, let's say. Then you would be able to say Petach Patuach. The only difference is between you and the Galil. So now explain to me what the problem is exactly. Why are we saying this? Lamai. In the Galil, when you would have said it, what would have it meant? Ila Osralav. To say that she's Asura, well, wouldn't that be true in Yehuda also? If you say, get out of here, I had nothing to do with her. Don't you tell me that maybe I slept with her. I know I didn't sleep with her. And I know that she's a petach patuach, so then why wouldn't she be asura in Yehuda the same way she is in the Galil? It must be that the issue is lafsida ktuvata. So if he's coming in the Galil over there, he can actually be mafsid ktuva. But in Yehuda, where we have a very good explanation of why petach patuach matzah, then he cannot be mafsid ktuva. So you see that a guy that comes in without having any edim, just his own word against hers, is believed, even to be mafsid de ksuva, unless it's in Yehuda. So my love, the katoin tana petach patuach. There you go. Says the Gemara, no. Maybe it's talking about tana damim. We already said that that is considered to be absolute. But, I mean, still, what right does he have to be mafsid her ktuva based on petach patuach? Why would we believe him? Itmar, Omer Reb Nachman, Omer Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you misunderstand the entire idea, okay? This is not a normal question of whether we're going to be taking something that was due to her and we're going to take it away from her based on his word. That's, of course, ridiculous. But what you're forgetting is that the entire idea of a ketuvah is a special takona of the Rabbanan, shalote kalabe navlotzio, and so on and so forth, right? So we want to make sure that this is a reliable relationship. So let me tell you something. When the guy comes the next morning after his wedding and says petach patuach matzati, the Rabbanan did not in that case provide the ksuva. That's the point. Why? Because it's ridiculous. What are you going to tell me? That he knows perfectly well that, well, he had slept with her before, so now he's coming to say, that's insane. It's because, actually, he really hated her all along and didn't want her to be a wife, but he figured, all right, what the heck, I'll take her for a night, and then I'll claim petach. I mean, is that reasonable that a person who had already made up his mind that this is not the girl for me and I'm going to be divorcing her would go make a wedding and send out invitations, have people come into the wedding and the next morning claim that he's got a divorcer? That's crazy. So because of that, the Rabbana never made the takona in the first place of giving her the ketubah. That's the point. And therefore, since the Chachomim, now the Gemara is going to talk this out, since the Chachomim were the ones who were tiknu lahem livnot Yisrael lebetula matayim, ula almana mana, so this entire idea, which we're going to be talking about more tomorrow, was to make it expensive to divorce her because we don't want to make it a casual relationship. So they were the ones who made the takana. They were the ones who said that in this case, we do not. They are Maimon, the husband, Sheima Mar Petach Batuach Matzati Neeman. Says the Gemara, well then, so what are you giving me all of this jazz? The Chachamim care about women, and they want to make life better for women. And then you turn right around and say, yeah, but if the guy says that, then we're going to believe him. So then what was the point? Don't give us this garbage that we want to take care of women, and then say we'll believe the husband. I mean, so then, you might as well not have made the takana in the first place if the guy can walk out the next morning on the takana. No? So, ma'o'ilu, Amar Rava, because this is not a normal situation. Chazaka ein adam toreach besu'uda u'mafsida. It's not that we're taking money away from her. It's not that this is enough of a reason that no idiot plans a wedding to be able to get up the next morning in order to give her a divorce? That's okay. You say maybe, who knows what kind of rotten people there are in the world. That's not the point. The point is that since the takana is specifically built around, we don't want casual relationships. And if he can just divorce her without paying the ketuvah, that's a casual relationship. But this is not a casual relationship. The guy just spent $20,000 on a wedding. That's more than the ketuvah. And that's enough that he's not going to divorce the next morning, wouldn't you say? That he wouldn't have entered into this casual relationship? So therefore, what's the point of adding the additional 200? That's not the issue. The issue is we know that that single night is not a casual relationship. There was a wedding. Now you want to stick with her? Fine. Then you'll need a ketuvah. But that is the next morning. That's the point. It's always the morning after the night before. And in that case, there's no need for our takana. The ketuvah makes perfectly good sense. Okay, gentlemen, that opens up, pardon the pun, the entire sugya for us of the interrelationship of the issues of ne'amanut, paying the ketuvah, iser of an eshet issue with sleeping with someone else, and so on. There's extremely, extremely complex sugyas in terms of issues that go all over Shas, issues of Migu. Why isn't she believed to say, because she could always have said, I was raped. Why doesn't she have a Migu? Since she could have said, I was raped and not be a Asura, so then she should be believed in whatever she says. An obvious question with an obvious answer. Women don't like to say that they were raped, so therefore it doesn't really supply a Migu. Questions of why not go according to the Chazaka? She was a Petula at one time. Why don't we have a Chazaka? Why doesn't it go according to Chazaka that she was Muteret? Is there a Rov? And what would be the din of Rov the Chazaka? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You could see how many wonderful, that's why they call Ksuvas Shas Katan. It has all of the sugyas of Shas in it. There's so many issues of Nezikin and so on. So, but what we've done is gone over just a basic introduction to the fundamental pieces.